Today is December 7th, 2020. My name is Hannah Sawyer, and I am going to be talking with Aria for the COVID Disability Archive. These oral histories are being recorded as a way to document the lived experiences of disabled, chronically ill, and neurodivergent individuals during the COVID-19 pandemic across the world. Okay, so thank you so much for being with me today. If you could start out by just giving me your name, age, pronouns, and where you live.
My name's Aria. I'm 22. My pronouns are they, them, and I live in Melbourne, Australia.
Thanks, Aria. And could you next just give me your identity description? So however you go ahead.
Awesome. So I am a non-binary autistic person. So I was diagnosed around 2016. So they originally said I was high functioning, but I don't identify with that. I just say I'm autistic and neurodivergent.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Thank you. So we're just going to go ahead and get into the more meatier questions. Mm-hmm. So when did you first learn about the pandemic and what was your experience with that? So if you have any specific memories of that, emotions that went around with that.
I think I heard about it in like late December, early January. I can't remember exactly, but I remember here in Australia anyway, there's a huge panic buying thing right at the start. And I remember my family and I sitting in the kitchen one day and we were just kind of laughing about how ridiculous some people were being, not really taking in the severity of it or how big it was going to get. Like, we had no idea. So we were just like, why are people buying toilet paper all of a sudden, or just, you know, completely desolating the shelves at the store? I did not expect it to become this huge thing. Yeah, that's pretty much what I can mostly remember.
Yeah. So how has your experience with the pandemic changed since that initial learning?
I did not cope with it that well in the beginning, especially, I mean, at first I was like, okay, so maybe a month of, you know, isolation or something. And I was okay with that because I love being home, you know, but the huge blow, I think, was change to everyday life or like routine, because that's huge for us in the community. And also specifically for me, I need routine. I need the same thing every day, basically, to kind of function. It was a huge change and a blow as the months went on. We were in it for about 7 months. Luckily, our government did act quickly, but it was definitely a huge thing. So I think I definitely went from being positive about it to really, really negative about it. And seeing how it quickly spread as well, and just also took out a lot of the plans I had throughout the year as everyone's, and stuff I was really looking forward to didn't go ahead, and it was really crushing. But yeah, that's mainly the gist of it, I guess.
Sorry, I was coughing, I was choking on something.
That's okay.
And you see, I'm crying from the coughing, not from...
It's okay. All good. I get it.
Could you elaborate a bit on sort of how your day-to-day routine was impacted by all of this?
I wasn't really doing much at the start of it. I had just graduated from an acting course that I did all last year, and it was full time. So it was kind of adjusting to a lot. I also had some other things going on in my personal life that were really hard. I don't know if you heard about the White Island volcano eruption that happened in New Zealand. In December, my friend and her family were actually on the island when it happened. She lost her brother and her sister. And she was really badly burnt. And I met her through the acting course I did, and we got really close. So that was a huge shock to say the least. She was in hospital for about 7 months or something as well. So it was right at the time that the pandemic actually started. And so I think coping with that, as well as a lot of change, like the course, I lived out of home in an apartment. So I was also moving back home. I was adjusting to a lot of shift in my everyday activity. And the only thing I was going to do this year was work, because I wanted to save up to go and see my fiance now. And yeah, a lot of that at the same time, it really did hit, you know, all of those personal things as well, definitely did impact my well-being at the start of the pandemic, and kind of wanting to brush away how intense it would be or how severe this whole thing was going to be in the world. Yeah, that's pretty much it, I think. I don't know if I answered your question.
No, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So what has your experience been specifically as an autistic or neurodivergent individual mm-hmm. throughout all of this?
Like I said, the change to routine was really hard. I mean, it's always scary going into some different routine. As an autistic person, I thought I would thrive in isolation because I love being at home. I love, you know, alone time. But it got to the point where that was all there was. So there wasn't really that shift. And I'm not a social person really, but I do love going out with friends. I do love going to the movies, for example, or like I said, seeing, you know, the opportunity to go visit my girlfriend at the time, now fiance. So I think my autism definitely impacted me a lot with the mental health side of stuff. So yeah, isolation didn't help. I felt extremely lonely the whole time, and I had pretty bad lows. I had really high highs and really bad lows. I had my therapist with me like throughout the whole time, but same time, you know, can only do so much. So I really think the mental health side of things was affected. And also just, I kind of felt like I was losing the ability to be social. And, you know, that change in routine and whatever. And I just found myself kind of becoming recluse from everybody, except for like the people I'm really close with. But even my family, I spent a lot of time in my bedroom just like moping or just feeling really bad. You know, so there was that. I think that was like a 3 month kind of rut that I was in, and it just did not seem like it would end. And then we went into the second lockdown, because that's what my state anyway, Victoria, did. We went into second lockdown because our cases were the highest in the country. And like I got a new tattoo and stuff, and I was really excited. But then immediately after that, we went back to shutdown. So it was like, you know, great, everything happy again, just went away. And it was really hard the second time, really hard. And that ended like 4 or 3 months ago now or something like that. So yeah, it was a lot to be thrown at me at once, and it felt like the hardest thing I've ever done. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So what is sort of, or I guess, how is Australia currently handling this?
We're doing really well. I believe it's almost been a month and a half since we've had no cases, at least in Victoria. South Australia, which is our neighbour state, so I don't know if you know the map very well, we're kind of next to them at the bottom. And they've got a few cases. There's also been a couple loopholes that the country has kind of made slip past, which is a bit infuriating, because that's exactly how the second lockdown started. You know, and there were a few slip-ups that happened, and that made us go into second lockdown, especially with a cruise ship that went into Sydney and then had a lot of infected passengers on it in the beginning of the pandemic. I think that was the cause of the second wave, but also a hotel quarantine mishap, and just the government not really jumping action quick enough. Not to say that our premier has not done a great job. I think he has. And we've definitely, I think we're on the horizon of abolishing the virus. But then I get angry anyway, because there are those slip-ups. And there was one just recently, again, with German passengers going on a domestic flight that just came from overseas. So it was like why wouldn't they be screened first? Like, how ridiculous when we've just come out of second lockdown because of a similar mishap. So it's that kind of thing. And I do get really affected. Like, I got really affected by people not wearing masks. I couldn't walk by people. My germophobia went insane. So I barely left the house as well. So it's that sort of thing. And focusing things out of my control for a while as well did not help. And yeah, that was the main thing. But I think as a whole, our country has done a great job compared to others. So I think we're kind of on the verge of not having the virus, at least here in Melbourne, when once it was the epicenter of the country. So that's a relief, sort of.
So since the last lockdown has ended, have you sort of, have you been able to go out more and be more social?
I definitely have. I think it was really great because when it ended, I'm still nervous about going out to stores and stuff. I will still wear my mask if I go into a shop or something. And that's also against our little rules at the moment. But I've seen friends, I've gone to a couple of dinner parties at homes, like not with a lot of people, don't worry, because we're all the same. We're all anxious and, still not wanting to take it for granted. But we've gotten together and had little social gatherings or just visited family again that we hadn't seen in a while, which was nice. But I've definitely gone out to eat, which the first couple of times I was really scared. But they're definitely doing a lot to at least assist people clean up really thoroughly as well. So the other thing as well is I'm addicted to coffee. and my dad and I usually would always go get a coffee in the morning before work, yada, yada. So it was nice to start that up again. Felt like a little bit of a routine coming back. So yeah, that's been the main thing. I think I'm definitely doing better mentally because we don't have many restrictions anymore. Doesn't go to say that I don't get annoyed with people still.
Yeah, for sure. That's I mean, just amazing to hear. I'm in Iowa in the U.S. and we're the second highest state in the U.S.
Yeah, I feel for you guys.
Yeah, it's very rough over here.
Yeah. There's hope, you know.
There is. There absolutely is hope. Yeah. So you might have already answered this, but how has your disability impacted or informed how you have dealt with the pandemic?
I think the main takeaway of my struggles with this is how important routine is, or just familiarity in general. Like, I'm happy to conform to new routines, whatever, but especially really hard at first. Getting better, I used to be horrible. But I think, just coming out of lockdown is taking a bit to regulate. And also, I did do studies over the lockdowns and stuff just to keep myself sane. So it was also, I'm still kind of reeling from that because it was stressful. It was certainly different. And it was kind of isolating, not being able to go on campus or something like that and be able to socialize with other people. We had our exam on campus, but we were all social distancing, wearing masks. And it was really funny. It was really weird seeing everyone when we just know each other's voices. But things like that were okay. So it's mainly, the takeaway is how important my routine is and how much sanity it gives me, really. It's a learning curve, I guess.
Yeah. Do you feel that people who are not autistic sort of understood that or did not really understand that?
I'm going to be real. I don't think anyone who's not autistic will ever get what it's like. It's hard enough on a daily basis without the pandemic and stuff like that. At times, it can be really overwhelming. It can be just like you have really high highs, you have really low lows. But I think for me, it's mainly the social stuff. And for a while, I was really, really bad. I was really sensitive. I was really emotional. And my family, like, they get it. But there are certainly times where, you know, they thought I was overreacting or, you know, that sort of thing. And it was really hard to get out of that mindset for a little while. And everything was setting me off. Even the littlest like things. And now I look back and it's like, well, you need to take a deep breath and chill out. But yeah, it was really hard for a little while. So I definitely, you know, I'm used to not being understood. I'm used now. I've had so many people tell me like I'm overreacting or, you know, they just don't want to understand. So I guess sadly it's something that we just cope with. But goes to say it doesn't feel nice. But you know, I'm grateful that I have the family I have. It just, we definitely were getting on each other's nerves for sure. But yeah, like, you know, for the most part, I did feel safe.
Right.
But yeah.
So, that's sort of related to my next question, which is what have your relationships with people been like throughout all of this and have they changed?
I think I'm just mostly socializing with people I trust and who I feel comfortable with the most. I'm not really reaching out to many other people at the moment, just in that same way. I don't have the energy to either. And I feel like that carries over a little bit from all the stuff that's happened. You know, as taking care of myself, that's the most important thing for me. Otherwise, I don't know how I function. So yeah, mostly just hanging with family or yeah, my closest friends or talking to Sam over WhatsApp, which we do all the time. So really it just, it's kind of like that at the moment. And I feel like it will be that for a little while. I'm reaching out to the friend that was in the eruption incident every now and again, just to see how she is and how she's coping and, you know, through her recovery. But other than that, I'm not really talking to many people outside my inner circle. And also I feel like my people skills aren't really great anymore. And it's just that kind of thing where I'm trying to rehabilitate that, and become like less anxious when I'm, you know, in a social situation. Yeah, that's about it really.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's definitely been lasting effects from lockdown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, has your living situation changed at all due to the pandemic?
No, I am still living with my family. Through the first lockdown, my brother and his fiance moved out, but they just lived down the road. But other than that, we haven't really changed much. We just, yeah, it's similar and we're all getting on each other's nerves, like I said. But now that we're able to work or at least go out more, I think everyone's more chill. I think just, and we've gotten somewhat closer as well. So there's that kind of thing that's good. But yeah, there was times where I didn't even want to leave my room or something like that. But yeah, for the most part, we're trying to do more family stuff now. Now that we can, like going out, walking the dog, yada, yada. And watching things together as well. So we're just trying to make the most of it. You know, I'm being grateful that we can go out again and go to dinner again and stuff, because that's certainly been missed. But yeah, nothing else has really changed.
Okay. And do you feel like your relationships with different institutions, such as healthcare, government, or the media, has changed throughout all of this?
I think with my own government, I honestly don't understand politics enough to really feel strongly about our government here. I mean, for the most part, they've done a good job from what I see anyway. At least our prime minister, I'm not really a big fan of, but our premier, who's, you know, basically governing the state, you know, has done a really good job protecting his fellow Victorians and, you know, just looking out for us. So I think in that respect, they've done a good job. I think with other, I think health organizations have done really well. I really admire, you know, healthcare workers as well. Obviously, they've been a massive, massive role. I've many friends actually who are in the nursing and like hospital industry, so I got to give it up to them, you know, who, you know, put their lives on the line for people who were suffering, you know, once our hospitals were over capacity as well. But I think other than that, nothing really has changed that marginally. But I look over at you guys and I'm just like, I can't believe how out of control it got because some people didn't care. And that angers me a lot. Yeah. But I hope now that things change and get for the better. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so too. I think that we're on the right path, maybe.
But I feel like I feel like that is the case. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely very, very hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so speaking of very, very hard, what has been the hardest thing about living throughout all of this?
I think it's the mental health side of things, yeah. Just like I keep saying, I will emphasize just how hard it got, mental health, you know, being in one place for too long or just that feeling of isolation was really, really hard. And just like feeling like normalcy will never return, like, and it still kind of feels that way, and it does for, I bet, for you guys and, you know, that sort of thing. So it's just, yeah, it was a massive change for everybody, I think, and we all feel that way because, yeah, we're not used to this sort of living, you know, and the restrictions as well. It was just a huge, like, will we ever get out of this? Will we ever be able to do things again? Like, we were mourning the littlest things, like going to cinema or, you know, even just going down the street and feeling like we're able to even just live properly, you know. It was the hardest part. Despite not being an extroverted person, you know, I found myself wishing that I could go to a party or something, even though usually I hate them. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So have there been any silver linings?
Look, I mean, I try my best to look at the positives, and there have been some, like, you know, I did get engaged over the internet, but still it was really nice to have that kind of thing. I, you know, never expected that to happen and didn't see it coming, although people around me did. And that's just the story of my life. I think, you know, finding who your close true friends are as well, like, you know, the people who do, you know, ask how you are, or, you know, and also just feeling gratitude for my family. Like, gratitude is such an iffy thing for me. I felt like going back to square one when my therapist, like, you know, open your gratitude journal, write down as much as you can to think of. So I think little things like that certainly helps. And I think the biggest silver lining is definitely just seeing the light at the end of the tunnel again, even though a lot of you guys and a lot of other countries are still in it, you know, there is that hope. You know, we're not completely out of it either. I think there's still cases popping up every now and again, but you know, there will be an end to it. That's why I keep trying to tell myself anyway. Yeah.
Where does your fiance live?
They live in Massachusetts.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yes.
So, and I know you mentioned near the very beginning of this, that you originally had a lot of plans for this year that you sort of have put on hold. Mm-hmm. Could you talk about some of those briefly as well?
Yeah, so in January, me and my fiance did discuss travel plans. So we made a whole itinerary and everything for me to come to Mass, and, you know, just they were going to take me around Boston, they were going to take me around where they live, and yada yada, because I've only been to New York. So I was really looking forward to it. It was going to be, you know, a nice little thing after a year of not seeing each other. And as the pandemic worsened, because I was supposed to go in May, I was like, I really hope I get to go and then we'll be able to quarantine or whatever. And when I get back as well, it will hopefully. But yeah, it was like it flared up the most just before I was supposed to go, and then it shut down everything. So yeah, it was a really huge blow for both of us. And that, yeah, was that incorporated for sure into the hardest struggles during the whole thing. But yeah, it was mostly that and just other little things. I decided to study just to take my mind off things. So yeah, but it was the travel plans for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I can imagine that would be to already not see each other for a year and then to have
that. Distance is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, we get through it. Little thing that we hope in the next year or two we can see each other again or, so it's that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, I don't have any other questions. Do you have anything else that you would like to add before I start recording?
I don't know. I think I've said it all, really. I don't really know how to articulate myself that well at the moment. But I think I said the gist of what I need to. But also, I'm just really happy to help out or at least give some insight or at least some help to people who are feeling this way, because I know it's a lot of us. And I personally, in my circle of friends who are autistic or, mentally ill, we're all feeling this in some way or another. But for me personally, I'm just really passionate about educating the world on, what it's like to be one of us. So, yeah, that's sort of the thing that, I was really excited to do this, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Arya.
You're welcome. I'm really happy to help out.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and stop recording.